I'd like to go ahead and call the meeting of the CNRA committee to order. It is 7 minutes after 2, April 10th, 2006. We have one item on the agenda today. It's House Bill 395 dealing with fires season. The intent here today is to pass this bill on to the next committee, of which two members here sit on that committee, so I'm sure we'll have all the institutional information will flow forward. With that, I'd like to bring up Mr. Conrad Jackson, if he could jump in the hot chair and identify himself and who he represents, the bill sponsor, and then go ahead and present the bill. Then we'll have some preliminary discussion, and then we'll have a public hearing.
Orson. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Kurt Olson. Before you today is House Bill 395, an act relating to the period of the fire season. By this simple change of the fire season, moving the fire the beginning date 1 month earlier and the ending date 1 month earlier, we're able to have the Division of Forestry get the firefighting personnel and equipment in place and ready to fight the early season or what's called a pre-greenup fire. Every year, seasonal workers have to be reactivated. Their training and certification, health certification has to be done. All of that takes time. The firefighting equipment that's been in storage all winter has to be checked over and ready for use. Contracts for firefighting aircraft have to be completed, and the aircraft have to actually get into the state and be set up in their bases. What we're hoping for here is a proactive, not a reactive approach to this. Early season fires seem to be showing up more and more. Just a little history of just the Southern Peninsula. In 2003, there were 14 early season fires, which is wildfires starting before May 1st, which is the previous start of the fire season. In 2004, there were four, including a 100-acre fire just north of Anchor Point. And then last year, 2005, there were eight fires, one of which was the Tracy Avenue fire, which was about 5,400 acres and one of the earliest large complex fires in state history. When this fire began, only one firefighting aircraft was in state and was actually diverted to three other fires on its way to the Homer fire. When additional help was, firefighting help was requested, it actually took about another full day for half the crew to arrive. The maps you have in front of you gonna help give you an idea of what's faced by some of the residents of the peninsula with a spruce bark beetle kill, the lightning strikes that we're starting to see. And the proximity of the beetle kill really isn't just, it's not only just in the proximity to the structures and businesses, homes and structures, but it's also to the highways, the electrical lines that crisscross the peninsula. So there's a real danger down in the Southern Kenai Peninsula. And I don't mean to minimize any fire danger for the rest of the state. Pre-greenup fires are being seen more and more throughout the state. The dangers exist up in the Mat-Su Valley, Fairbanks area, the Anchorage Bowl. And if you see the third map, the single map, shows some of the spruce bark beetle infestation that spread up into the Anchorage Palmer area and across Cook Inlet. Since man is one of the main causes of these pre-greenup fires, moving this fire season start date back 1 month, it will also help with some of the public awareness programs, and that's our hope as well to prevent some of those fires. Mr. Chairman, I'll quit now. If you have any questions or committee has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. My hope is that Mr. Walden from the Kenai Peninsula Borough Emergency Management, the director there, was able to dial in online. But if not, we've got some Division of Forestry and DNR folks available also.
Do you have any? Yes, Senator Stevens. Oh, excuse me here. With me today, we have Senator Stevens, Gary Stevens, Senator Wagner, myself, Senator Stedman. I forgot to do that here earlier. Go ahead, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I realize that how important it is that we have this available earlier, and particularly because of the Tracy Avenue fire and the problems that we had last year. But so it's very important that this be made available. But I guess my question has to do with the other end of things. If we end a month earlier, what is the history of fires in September? Is that an issue at all?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, there are obviously fires in later on in the season, and generally I believe we do see fires that go even beyond the current end of fire season. And in a number of cases, it's necessary for the for DNR to come back for a supplemental. And I would guess that we're going to be seeing the same thing, since fires are still tough to predict, the weather seasons, that type of thing. The hope was in House Finance to eliminate a fiscal note by moving, instead of just moving the fire date, the start date, 1 month earlier, to move the end date up as well.
I know.
And end up with a zero, keep that fiscal note to a zero.
And I appreciate that, it's a nice thought, and I hope it's the case.
Yes.
But I guess we need to look at reality, too. I mean, what is the history? And I guess I'd ask that, Mr. Chairman, of whoever speaks with him from the department, is there a history of this being needed in September as well? And it just means I don't know, is it possible to extend these planes so they're available in September if we have them here? Certainly we need them early. I guess reality is, are we asking for an additional month, or are we just hoping that nothing will happen in September?
Senator Stevens, through the chair, the intention was, or the hope was, that once we have the equipment in place, it's much easier to fight those fires. That has been the ongoing problem, is the equipment and the personnel are not available when those early season fires start. If we've got a fire in September and October, the equipment's there so that we can move right in and try to hit them early, as opposed to a fire that has a chance to develop, making it more of a threat to life and property, as well as the firefighters that are actually going out and fighting an established fire as opposed to a small fire.
I'd like the record to reflect that Senator Gukesh will join us. Senator Wagner.
Yeah, if there's some people from the department here, I think a couple of questions we need to ask them. Number one is the dew point, the amount of rainfall in September versus the amount of rainfall in April. And see what they can give us as far as that information, because I've lived, for instance, on the peninsula for a long time, and I don't remember very many fires that started in September that were a big problem, because it is a wetter time of the year than April generally. But, they should have a better handle on that than we do, so I'd like to hear from them.
Well, we can do that now. We can bring in the Forestry Director Chris.
Yeah, hi, this is Chris Mache up in Fairbanks, and I'm the Director of the Division of Forestry, and I have with me here my Fire Program Manager, Lynn Wilcock, who I think would be best able to answer your question, Mr. Stedman.
Yes, if you could address the early versus late fire season and the dew point issue that's brought up by Senator Wagner.
Through the Chair, Senator Stedman, for the record, this is Lynn Wilcock. I'm the Chief of Fire and Aviation for the Division of Forestry. And speaking to the early versus late, I think Mr. Jackson did a pretty good job of expressing things. It is the early season that we currently have trouble getting equipment and contracts in place for. April is historically the driest month in Alaska as a whole, as a general statement. Normally, you know, later in the season, what we have seen historically is we get a wet pattern starting normally, historically, usually late in July or into early August, that usually continues through September, with typically one period of high pressure that rains somewhere in that period. What we've seen for the last couple of years is that high pressure has predominated much later than historically has predominated. And for instance, the last two seasons, we burned in excess of 3 million acres in each of the last two Augusts. That's both 2004 and 2005. However, that is quite contrary to historical averages. September, as has been indicated, is typically the decline of the fire season. Our lightning activity is generally moderated significantly. Primarily, the issue becomes man-caused, human-caused fires again for September. And again, if the seasonal rains have developed in August and continue into September, it's normally not a problem for new starts. However, if we've had ongoing fires, as we have had for the last 2 years, they often continued through August and still pose some level of commitment through portions of the month of September.
Okay, thank you. Senator Wagner, do you have a...
No, that's what I suspected. I mean...
Okay. Any other comments from the division? Okay, with that, let's go to Steve Gibson. If he can identify himself and who he works for or who he represents. He's on the off-net from Homer.
Yeah, this is Steve Gibson in Homer. Thanks for holding this hearing and for proposing this law, senators, and the House as well. I'd just like to make 2 points briefly. I've been connected with the woods for quite a while. I run a small one-horse sawmill here in Homer and have for the last 25 years. I'd like to make 2 main points. The first is that it is a warmer season. It is a warmer early spring season that's established itself as a fairly regular pattern for the past while. And clearly that's our point of greatest fire danger. The bench in Homer right now is just a bunch of dry grass. There's no snow on it, although the ground itself is frozen. And in the case of the Tracy Avenue fire last year, which in its beginning was not untypical at all at its start, we were very fortunate that when the winds did blow, that they were blowing in a direction to blow it away from town. And it felt quite frustrating and alarming to realize the vulnerability that we were in. There literally were no resources we could call upon for a fire of that magnitude. The second point I wanted to make is that the spruce bark beetle epidemic has changed the fire hazard level, as you all must know, all over South Central Alaska. And while that is a regional consideration, the region is certainly the most populated in the state. And this effect has happened regardless of whether or not the area has been logged. In many cases, when an area had been logged completely, the Calum agrostis that grew up in its stead carries a fire much faster. Although these types of fires, Tracy Avenue fire, are most ideally fought by retardant bombers, it's definitely a fast-moving type of fire. And in the case where you have a mixture of beetle kill and grass, the speed and the flammability and the difficulty to fight is very great. Well, that's all I have here, unless there's any questions.
Mr. Gibson, could you... does your sawmill, does it cut and manufacture either the beetle-killed spruce before or after a fire?
I've never milled any great quantities of burned spruce. It's a nasty job, I know that, just from the little that I have done. But it's certainly not impractical. One of the problems is that when an area has been burned over, like the Tracy Avenue fire footprint, that's not a done deal. At this point, that area this spring will be just as ready to burn as it was last year. As far as logging goes and the utilization of those logs, they're of really low value, but in many cases, if there are not too many checks and if there's not too much rot, they can be milled. But as I say, it's a one-horse sawmill, and so there's easier, more accessible, and more desirable timber that's, you know, not too far away.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have anybody else that's called in? Okay. Well, with that, I'll bring the testimony there. Is there anybody here that would like to speak to the bill? With that, we'll come back to the committee. If we had any have any comments, if not, we'll look for a motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Stevens.
I move that we move out CS for House Bill number 395 Finance / Y with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
We have a motion to move the bill. Do we have any objection? Hearing none, the bill will move on to the next committee, and we will follow it there. Meeting adjourned.